So hi, this is Mark Knapp, and I'm speaking with Thomas Kurz, who has done a lot of research and work himself with stretching and flexibility, and we're here to talk with him to find out more about it. How are you, Thomas?
Well, I'm fine. It's very nice to talk to you.
Okay, thank you. Let's start by talking a little bit about your background. Your background is study. You spent a lot of time, your whole education in Poland was in sports training. Is that correct?
Yes. I studied at the Academy of Physical Education, otherwise known also as University School of Physical Education and Sports in Warsaw. And I had good fortune to bump into some really good teachers before they disappeared into the West, recruited by some professional teams. And also I was fortunate to meet some people who were really old, you know, like Sokol instructors, people who were in their 70s, 80s by the time I was a student. So they taught me some things that are practically forgotten now. And they didn't, for some strange reason, they didn't teach it there. But again, I was fortunate to have some personal exchanges with them, and they could show me some stuff. So there. Other than that, lots of my know-how comes from simply doing. I read, and if something makes sense to me, I do it. And this way, I know if it works or it doesn't. Unlike people who read and do nothing, or do things but never read.
Mm-hmm. So in your work and in your studies in stretching, what do you see as some of the biggest misconceptions or myths that are surrounding stretching?
Well, the most popular, I think, are that it takes great effort and long time to considerably increase flexibility or to achieve great flexibility, that stretching prevents injuries. That's another one. That great flexibility prevents injuries, yet another one. It's different, you know, when I talk about stretching as prevention of injuries, I'm talking something different than great flexibility as prevention of injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, you should differentiate between flexibility and stretching. Mm-hmm. And These are the main ones. Also, that strength training limits flexibility, or that, and something that comes from that flexibility training and strength training are separate. These are not. They need not be separate. So there.
How do you differentiate between stretching
and flexibility? Yeah. Somebody might have poor flexibility and stretch a lot, mm-hmm. In a belief, for example, in a belief that it will prevent the injuries. And then they go, say, run, and they get injured. They get pulled hamstrings or pulled quads or pulled calves. And they get better, and then they again go stretch before every run, and then they get injured, and so on. And they never achieve any great degree of flexibility, but they stretch religiously. Flexibility is an outcome. Stretching is an effort.
Process.
It's a process.
Yeah. So if stretching, is there, what you were mentioning strength training as a means to increasing flexibility. And you, what I understand is stretching doesn't always increase flexibility.
Well, if you do it wrong, then it won't.
Then it won't.
And most, and many, many people do it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
As far as connecting strength training and flexibility training, they can be connected with something else or combined with something else, with posture correction. If you know your Olympic lifts, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Let's say, show me a weightlifter with poor posture.
Mm-hmm.
You can't last in that sport.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is this might be due to selection, because if somebody has poor posture, they just drop out very soon.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, one can use Olympic lifts to correct posture or to maintain good posture, to improve it. Like, there are kids coming into the weightlifting program. They have good posture. And then after a few years, their posture is like exceedingly good.
Mm-hmm.
If you work with weightlifters, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know how it looks like.
And another interesting fact is they did a study in I think the 84 Olympics, where they tested each athlete group in the Summer Olympics for flexibility.
Yeah.
And the gymnasts were number one, which wasn't a surprise, but the number two group, most flexible, was the weightlifters.
Yes, and how much do they stretch?
Maybe a little bit after, but not much. It's within the work.
Yeah. So you see the difference between what is commonly considered stretching and flexibility. You have a group of people who stretches very little, yet they are very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at, let's say, overhead squat, which is a preparatory exercise for the snatch,
mm-hmm.
you see, somebody does it well, you see excellent range of motion in shoulders, in thoracic spine, in lumbar spine, and in hips, and in knees, and in the ankles.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you use the overhead squats and deep squats as a flexibility exercise, which at the same time is a strength exercise?
Mm-hmm.
So here is your connection between flexibility, strength, and posture correction, all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I see quite often is teams, right before they're going to play a game, are out there stretching.
I don't know. Maybe they get a sudden urge to be yogis.
So what's your thoughts on that? Stretching.
Why would they stretch? Tell me.
They think it's going to make them more supple and maybe less inclined to be injured and help their performance. That's what I guess is the reason they're thinking to stretch.
Yeah.
But what's the truth behind that?
Well, let's begin with the first one. It will make them, what, more limber?
Yes.
So they're not limber without it enough? They're not limber enough to play the game without it?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't they fire their coach? That would be the solution. If they warm up, run, do the drills with increasing range of motion, they won't get limber enough. If not, if they need that static stretching, they belong in physical therapy. Static stretching is often done at the beginning of a session in physical therapy. Because we have somebody that maybe had a surgery, the range of motion is limited, muscles are in spasm, maybe joint capsule here or there is shortened. And to make a normal movement, they need to stretch those structures, or they need to reset the regulation of their muscle length and tension because it's faulty, because it's pathological. So then, after that stretching, sometimes with help of the physiotherapist, sometimes alone, they might be ready for corrective or rehabilitating exercises. If the team needs that, if the team needs static stretching before they can move normal, then they are sick. They are all pathology. They have pathology. And if they think that they don't have enough mobility, by mobility meaning flexibility and control over the range of motion. Remember, flexibility is range of motion.
Yeah.
Right? Mobility, well, is control of movement over that range of motion. If they are not confident in themselves, then again, fire the coach. They are doing all the wrong exercises all the time. They are wasting time also, practically every workout. All this time spent on stretching prior to the practice is a wasted time and wasted energy. They could practice more during that time. You know, who is more likely to win? Which athlete is more likely to win in a contest? The one who practices more and better. Well, if you spend time on nonsense instead of good practice, then you are already setting yourself up for disappointment. Instead of having 1 hour of practice, you are having maybe at the most 40 minutes of practice. It was that they can get injured. Well, if they are illiterate, they can be excused, because there is plenty of research papers showing that stretching does not prevent injuries. If they are thinking straight, even if they are illiterate, they cannot read, but if they think straight and observe themselves as they do the exercises, they should know also that stretching doesn't prevent injuries. Actually, it sets up for injuries, static stretching, because they would notice if they stretch enough to feel increase of range of motion, then right after that stretch, they usually need to walk it off. They do that instinctively. If they didn't and went and did their drills right away, they at least wouldn't feel comfortable. They would be off. So they are disregarding signals from their own bodies. If they believe that static stretching prior to practice will prevent injuries. What else did we have?
What if they were to do, I know there's a movement toward more active stretching or dynamic stretching, as they call it. Which
yeah. Why not?
More appropriate,
but do they understand what does it mean?
Mm-hmm. Basically,
let's say we have wrestlers. And somebody says, from now on, no static stretching. Now we do dynamic stretching. What would you see them do?
They would be doing movement.
By what kind?
Progressive movement, joint related movements? Where?
But what specifically?
Specifically, one popular way is to do form drills that you would do in track, running with high knees or butt kicks or maybe.
But they are wrestlers. They are wrestlers. They are not track and field athletes.
Okay. I don't know much about wrestling, so maybe you could help me. What might they do?
They should perhaps do fittings beginning at the low range of motion and then increase it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if they do fittings for whatever, single leg grab, do that. Just each time lower and lower, smoother and smoother. Okay. If they do their, you know, if they want to begin their workout with some wrestling calisthenics, yeah, do that. Starting with the range of motion you have at the beginning and then gradually increase it as you warm up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
You do, say, shoulder throw. Do it first high and then increasingly lower and lower, fitting lower and lower, mm-hmm. bending your legs more and more.
Mm-hmm. And it also acts to warm up the muscles too.
Yeah, and you at the same time have getting into the groove
mm-hmm.
or your actions.
And that actually brings me to another question, and I've read some debate over the pluses and minuses of stretching a warm muscle versus stretching, if you are going to do stretching a warm muscle versus a cold muscle.
Well, the best answer that I have to it, I mean, the best is do it and show me. Okay? I mean, people who come up with those ideas,
yeah,
I would like them to show me.
Yeah.
You know, show me what you got for all this hypothesis.
Mm-hmm. So when
that's,
I think I'll come back to that question, but maybe it's more appropriate now to ask, since prior to working out is not the right time to stretch, when is the proper time to work on stretching?
When the muscles and ligaments are most pliable, at the time when they can be most securely stretched, when they are very well warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
Practically at the end of the workout session,
mm-hmm.
when you are sweating all over.
Mm-hmm.
The best time to increase passive range of motion, static passive range of motion, which is the foundation of all flexibility, because if you don't have static passive range of motion, then you cannot display within that range of motion, you cannot display dynamic flexibility. In other words, dynamic flexibility is displayed within the range of motion provided by static passive flexibility. You have to have that range of motion in a joint to use it dynamically. If you don't have it, then you can't move through it.
Mm-hmm.
So the best time for increasing passive range of motion, static passive range of motion, is when you are very well warmed up, usually at the end of your workout.
Mm-hmm.
And it also nicely coincides with the cool down, because the nature of static stretches is such that they are very suitable for cool down.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the cooldown, actually, because cooldown begins with gradually diminishing intensity of movements, activities, to eventually not moving much. So, for example, staying in stretches.
Mm-hmm.
But also, static passive flexibility can be increased during a strength training workout, just simply go through your strength exercises at the full range of motion. That might require reducing your resistance, for instance, how much you take on a bar, to the point at which you can move it through the full range of motion. But it might pay off eventually in the long run, because you'll be maybe stronger through a larger range of motion.
Mm-hmm. And there's if you're stretching afterward, there's a lot of people who believe that that helps the recovery process. Is there any research on that?
I am not aware of that. It might help with regulation of muscle tension, especially if you had very intense workout. But stretching, the action of static stretching directly doesn't help much. Several of them, you know, breaks, stretch, a break, stretch and break, might help the blood circulation. But remember that during stretch itself, you might be impairing blood circulation to the stretched muscles, because that's the way, you know, that's the way it is. When you put muscle on a stretch, you might be at the same time squeezing the blood vessels that run within the cavities of the muscle, because you know where they are. Yeah. They fit between bundles of the muscle. Right. They are usually hidden within the muscle. So if you, it's less the same like or similar as if you were lifting heavy, you know, during the heavy lift, your blood flow to the involved muscles is impaired,
yeah,
because blood vessels are squeezed.
Yeah.
I don't believe that it really helps in a measurable way recovery, in what you would measure in recovery, let's say how quickly you restore your muscle glycogen and whatever. And I don't think that would show after stretching versus no stretch. But if you do your stretches right, like if you do your all exercises right, then it might help in a sense that you might have an opportunity to correct your postural imbalances. You might use that time just to simply mentally relax. And that might help with recovery, because maybe after the workout, if you do all your exercises right, stretches and so on, maybe you have a better posture than if you were finished and just, you know, just finished, no stretches, no posture correction, no corrective exercises. You don't breathe as well. You don't walk as economically. So you don't rest because you keep on fatiguing yourself. You get the concept?
Yeah. Yeah. So
you know, it's like, yeah, like people, excuse me, no, it's like a person who feels tired when they are slouching, and they feel much better when they straighten up,
mm-hmm,
and stand up, you know, proper. So there, you know, something like this, not something that crude biochemical tests would really show.
So I was asking a little earlier about warm versus cold muscles, and I was referring to if you stretch a warm muscle, you'll get the effect you're talking about. But I've heard a little bit about stretching a cold muscle before you warm up too much. It can, if you do it properly, can maybe improve some of your flexibility in a different way. Do you know anything about that?
I could send you a link to my Stadion's publishing forum. You can read it later on. I'll give you the link now anyway, because
I think I was reading about that with regard to your, there was an article on tendons.
Yeah. I am a firm believer in practice.
Mm-hmm.
What practice shows.
Mm-hmm.
And people who do most days stretches when they are warmed up happen to be the people who are most flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, show me a gymnast who spends most of their stretching time on cold stretches.
Mm-hmm.
They mostly stretch when they warm up.
Mm-hmm.
Show me a weightlifter who does deep squats and snatches and overhead squats when cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then I show you an idiot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, these are athletes who are very flexible. And who are those who say that stretching cold is such a good idea? What they can show for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's basic. It's just the theories, I guess.
It's not even a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Theory is tested in practice. Where is the practice?
Yeah, in the work. In the practice.
Where is it?
In the beginning of the exercises, in the beginning of the workout.
Where is that? You said a theory is a theory. I said theory is tested in practice. Where is that practice? It's a mere hypothesis without any, without anything to show for it.
Yeah.
I can show you cold stretches.
Yeah.
I can do all kinds of splits cold.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how they were achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, once I do one, I'm warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
There is a method of stretching. Again, this is in physiotherapy
mm-hmm.
of cold muscles
mm-hmm.
when they are specially cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
But this is medicine. This is not sports training.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use things that work in physical therapy in sports training, because sports training is not physical therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good advice.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Don't use a sports training method without adapting it to physical therapy. Don't use it in physical therapy because it's going to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not prepared for it.
Yeah. I mean, people who are in physical therapy have specific needs.
Yeah.
Due to limitations. Cold stretches can work because, for example, they nerve conduction from the muscle might be impaired, so it hurts them less when they have to absolutely increase the range of motion, and there is no other way. But remember what kind, you know, what degrees of stretching we are talking about in physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking stretching like for gymnastics or achieving range of motion like for weightlifting or for kickboxing. We are talking completely different thing. We are talking about restoring semblance of normal range of motion. Okay? Don't mix those two.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mix sports training and physical therapy.
So if you were to leave this, we're getting near the end here, what would you say is the most important things to consider if you were speaking with a coach with regard to stretching?
My first thought was correct posture, because I see lots of people do stretches, doesn't matter, before practice, which shouldn't be done, after practice, which seems like the right thing to do. But they do it in such a way that you see bad posture. Therefore, some muscles or some joints are overstressed. The postural defects get reinforced instead of corrected. So that's one thing. But the more I think about it, is correct posture. Because if you observe correct posture, it will lead you to right exercises and right stretches. I don't know if you're familiar with judo or with Zhuaizhou or with wrestling. You said you're not so familiar with it.
I'm actively familiar with it, no. I mean, I know what it is, but I'm not. I've never actively done it, so I can't.
Okay, so I will try to describe it as briefly as possible. There is this very common technical error, say in judo, when a fighter tries to throw somebody, because if you throw somebody strong, clean, with they slam the ground hard enough, you win the match right away. It's called Ippo, big point. And they try to throw somebody over the shoulder. They have rolled their back, and they roll the person over, and there is no full point, no slam, because they rolled their back. Because nobody during practice, when they were learning that shoulder throw, nobody told them, every time you make a fitting, first look up and take a breath. As you come in, look up. Now when you have somebody on your partner or your opponent eventually on your shoulder, with your thoracic spine extended, with your lumbar spine extended, your legs bent, now straighten your legs and lean your trunk forward. Now you have a slam. Okay? So you see, if you pay attention to posture, you can correct a lot of technical errors in many sports. And you can do similar thing in stretches. You see somebody stretching and you correct, let's say, the position of their head. Let's say you want them to flex their hips maximally. And you tell them, or maybe you don't, but some people say, you know, like nose to the knee. And what people will do, well, they touch nose to the knee by hunching. And they should be told, chest to your thigh. Okay? Head up and so on, you know. And give them other clues for correcting the alignment of the spine. And then and thanks to that, you have much more effective stretch. That's what you get.
Yeah.
If your weightlifter is doing, say, overhead squat with a broom, even, you know, initially, what you do? You correct the posture all the time. And from that correction comes efficient, strong technique. If you neglect posture correction, if you allow too much kyphosis in the thoracic spine or wrong position of the head, you're destroying the athlete's chances for doing a good snatch. And there you go.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's absolutely correct. And athletic posture is, as you say, important in any movement in sport.
I mean, it goes from the ground up. You know, you see somebody's feet not working right. You have to correct it.
Sure.
So what's the point teaching sprint somebody whose legs are moving in all directions except the right direction?
Yeah.
You know, they move all over the place. I mean, they move forward, but the thighs and knees and feet are not going the most direct, straightest way forward.
Mm-hmm.
How can they make a decent time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Well, I think another point you made, I mean, we've talked obviously about some of thoughts on stretching and I think given everybody some interesting stuff to think about, but most importantly, as you said earlier, you have to do it. And maybe it'd be good for people to buy your book and get your DVD, and that way they can see how to do it correctly.
Yeah. What I show in both the book and DVD is how to combine in one exercise both stretching and strengthening.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways that the book covers too, you know, this way of separating one from the other. But sometimes you have to do that too. But it's good to know, you know, how to do those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good. And thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to say before we go?
Well, I think that really exhausts the subject for now. I mean, as far as we can talk about,
sure.
If you want to learn more, you can either exercise along with my DVD or you can show up sometime in my little gym, or you can get me to come to your facility,
mm-hmm.
and then you can learn more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there is only so much that can be conveyed through talking.
That's true. Okay, well, I appreciate your time, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I've learned a lot today listening to you, so I'm hoping those others who are listening will too.
Well, I hope so.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure to be on your program.
Thank you.